If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fungela. Hope you guys are enjoying. Oh, was you not ready?
No, I was like, why did you start? I wasn't ready.
Whoopsie! I jumped the gun. Because we're jumping right in, you guys. Danielle has an email from one of you that she wants to read today. Go for it, Danielle.
Yeah, so this email came in from Jody Canova from Connecticut.
I thought you were going to say Jody Cannoli. I was like, that's cute. But no, Canova.
And okay. We can call you that if you want. She gives us a gratitude and a gratitude. Her gratitude is people in grocery stores having full-out conversations via FaceTime while also managing to block the aisles.
I'll get on a FaceTime in a grocery store if I need assistance on picking. They have this and this. Which one do you want? Like, I do that with a FaceTime.
I'll sometimes call my mom and I go, and where would I find sun-dried tomatoes?
Yeah.
Because she knows. She knows where everything is.
Yeah.
But then Jody's gratitude is having my parents let me follow my dreams in the sport of women's judo and take it to the almost Olympic level.
She's almost there.
Yes. And she's also grateful that they never gave her a curfew. Ooh. Her brothers had strict curfews, but she goes, I never needed one. The honest truth, I was too busy going to judo.
Oh, that's funny. And they probably were like, she can handle herself.
Exactly.
If somebody tries to come for her, she's got it. Yeah. Now them boys, we got to get them home before it gets before it gets nasty out there.
Yes. So thank you, Jody, and for your judo. Judo Jody.
Wow. I like that. Judo Jody can beat us all up. Mm-hmm. I love that. You guys. This episode is a good one. Our guest this week, we have the very funny comedian AJ Wilkerson joins us, who's blowing up on social media, guys. This guy's blowing up. He is crushing it out there on the road. He highlights his autism and ADHD in his stand-up comedy. He is so funny. We get into it on this episode, his gratitudes and his mattitudes. You're going to love it. Oh, also, don't forget, if you would like to email us like Jody did, you can email us or you can call us and leave us a voicemail message or you can text us. You can reach out multiple ways. Danielle will tell you how to reach out.
Yes. So give us a call or text at 747-300-5380 or you can email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, there is always the form on Angela's website that you can fill out there as well.
Okay. Do I have any more housekeeping before I jump back into AJ's intro?
You can also leave comments and reviews and things on on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a review there.
Yeah.
You can leave comments on Spotify. You can leave comments on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. We're all over, you guys. Mm-hmm. We are social media worldwide.
And we're reading them.
We are. And yes, sharing indeed. Them here with you.
Yes, indeed. Okay, now can I do it?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, you're going to love this episode with the very funny, very charming AJ Wilkerson.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on. Let go.
I have to get a new phone.
Oh, I just got a new phone, but I haven't switched to it yet because I'm getting like a whole new number because I still have like my same cell phone number from like junior year of high school.
No way.
Still the same number. And it's like, yeah, I don't think anybody I went to high school with deserves this number anymore. That and like the the like those robo dialer numbers. Do you know where it's like if you have like a 305 area code and it's like, okay, now every spam call you get is going to be like a, from a 305 number or something because they want you to think it's somebody that knows local. You. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get random 818 numbers even though I'm here and I'm like, what? Who? I'm not even there.
Well, that's how I know it's not real because I still have like a Florida area code. And so like I'll get calls and it's like I'm not in Florida. Like no, there's no reason somebody from an unknown Florida number should be calling.
Totally.
Me.
What's the like not craziest or the weirdest spam text you've received lately? Because now everybody gets so many spam texts. Like what's some of the weirdest ones?
I get boner pill texts. I get I get these more on Instagram than I do on text message, but I'll get Instagram like DM requests, like they just go into like that request folder.
Yeah.
But I'll get Instagram requests where it's like, hey, I'm reaching out for my friend because she's really shy and blah 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 blah. But you should reach out to her and like message her, and it's like, why would I do that? Why would anybody do that? And it's like, but I get it's the exact same message, but I'll get like 18 of them a day from different people, and the exact, so it's like, oh, you guys are just copying and pasting, and like this is the new like this is the new like African prince.
It's
like, this is how they're gonna steal your identity.
Totally. I mean everybody gets the like, your Amazon package is delayed, click here and whatever, and you're like, man, sir, no. But I just got one the other day that was like, oh, creative. And it was like, hey, so I'm thinking we could do this hiking trail. If not this one, then maybe the other one. What do you think? Like, just a random, like, trying to get me to engage and text back. Yeah. And I'm like,
I've gotten a couple of those where it's like, hey, I'm running a little late. Would you mind if we maybe like switch the restaurant? And you're like, what restaurant? Who? I don't go to restaurants. Who is this?
Yeah.
I've gotten some too that were like, hey, I'm going to be in town to Dallas, because that's my area code. Hey, I'm going to be in downtown Dallas this weekend. Any restaurant recommendations? Like the same. And I'm like, I don't live there.
Yeah.
Who's this? What's going on?
That's what they want you to do. They want you to engage.
But then what's the purpose? What's their goal?
I think, well, from different videos that I've seen online is eventually send you a link to something that you click on to try to like get your information somehow. I don't know, but I'm not making no new friends. Okay.
That is exactly where I am at. No.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make the friends that I already have. Yeah. I don't have any space for new ones. Yeah, I am autistic. I have social anxiety. Yeah. Like, I want to limit real life to what we used to have on MySpace. I got a top 8, and if you don't if you're not in that, I don't have time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're a dad. Bruh. Yeah.
And I got two people in my house that already, that's two spots in my top 8. That's quarter filled, okay? I got those. I got a best friend that's 3 of 8, okay? Uh-huh. I got an agent that's 4.
Yep.
I got a social media team. That's my other 4. Okay. Yeah, what do you want from me?
No more room.
No more room.
I got a question.
Seat's taken.
I got a question. Okay. So with autistic social anxiety, how did you score Taryn? Like, how did that happen?
So you may be aware of this. There's this like phenomenon that exists in society where extroverted people will adopt introverted people. And that's basically what happened. I got taken in like an abused doll. We had matched on one of the apps and we like didn't really like talk or anything. And then Chelsea Handler was at Zany's.
Okay.
And Lucy at Zany's and Taryn were talking, and Taryn's like, do you know any funny guys that like thick ladies? And Lucy was like, in fact, I do. So, yeah.
And the rest was history.
The rest was history.
I love
and
that.
And then we made a baby.
Yeah.
And yeah. We like
it. Congrats.
Yeah. Funny stuff. We probably not podcast material, but I did a Halloween show at Zany's. Mm-hmm. So we did full Halloween costumes, and Taryn did my Beetlejuice makeup for me.
And was incredible, and I bet.
It was awesome. It was sick. But on the way home from Zany's, I had just gotten my pickup truck, and she was like, hey, let's be irresponsible adults, and let's hook up in the pickup. And... So our baby, we should have named him Dodge, but we didn't. We named him Woody. We named him Woody. Because of the wood grain in the truck.
Okay. All right.
but yeah, that's our little guy.
That's hilarious. That is so. And first of all, this makes me think. I was about to say, what's crazy is growing up, I had a crush on Beetlejuice. Isn't that so weird?
Like, that is weird, but I get it because I had a crush on Michael Keaton. Yeah. Not Beetlejuice specifically, but Michael Keaton. Actually, Multiplicity Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Do you remember Multiplicity?
I don't.
Oh, it's where Michael Keaton is like a contractor and like a dad, and he's like married to like Andy McDowell.
Okay.
And he's running, he doesn't have enough time to be like a good dad and a good husband and like run his business. Uh-huh. So he finds a company that will basically make clones of him, will make copies of him. But then the copies decide that they don't have enough time for things, so then they make a copy.
No.
But a copy, they use like the example of like when you make like a copy of a CD, when you make a copy from a copy, it doesn't come out as good.
Yeah.
And so that one is like, dee, dee, dee.
Oh, no.
And oh, no, it is amazing.
Oh, I gotta watch this.
It is, it's amazing. It's the most quotable line from the movie. Me and my best friend say this all of the time. We just will look at each other and go, she touched my peppy, Steve. She touched my peppy. That and we're gonna eat a dolphin. And it's like, no, we're gonna pet one. Right. We're gonna pet one.
I have never seen this movie.
Oh my God, it is so good.
But I love that. That's how you had a crush on him.
I had a crush
because there were so many of him.
There were so many of him, and he was Batman and Beetlejuice, and he was a stand-up comedian. Before any of that, he was a stand-up comedian.
Wow. And I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's on the wall at the Comedy Store in L.A.
I didn't know that. Is there footage of him doing stand-up?
Oh, yeah. It exists. Yeah, Michael Keaton was a comic.
That's exciting to find out.
I know. Like, it's just like the more, like, you got to put him in, the, like, move him from that category of, like, actor. He moves into, like, the Robin Williams, like, like, he just wasn't as recognized for it. And I don't think he, like, stuck with it after it all kind of took off. So he kind of, I guess he goes in, like, the Eddie Murphy category. Michael Keaton, white Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Heard it here first. Yeah, I know. I had a big crush on Beetlejuice, even though he looks creepy and everything. Like, I don't know what it was, but he had me. Like, I loved me some Beetlejuice. But what I was going to say was apparently Taryn also had a crush on Beetlejuice.
Yes.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
I started in 2019.
Bro, you started just in 2019 and you're already... crushing it. That is incredible.
Thank you. It's a disability.
Cannot stand you.
It's like autism. It's like the hyper focus that goes into like an autism special interest. Because I've loved comedy forever.
Okay. Yeah.
Like literally my childhood like obsession with Michael Keaton was like, and he does stand up. And like my dad had in his truck growing up, he had one of those giant boxes just filled with all the cassette tape slots.
Yeah.
And it was one side was all comedy tapes.
No way. So your dad was a big fan.
Big fan of comedy. But my dad was like loved like the Blue Collar Guys. Uh-huh. Jerry Clower, I don't know if you're familiar. Uh-uh. He's like an inside baseball. He was like the original like Southern comedian. He's like James Gregory before James Gregory.
Wow.
He would just sit and tell these stories of like where he grew up in like Mississippi and stuff. But we would listen to these tapes. I went to school in like a different county because my parents didn't know I was autistic. I was undiagnosed, but they knew I was a weird little guy. And I was literally too smart for my school district because the schools in my district were unaccredited like high schools. So you couldn't go straight to a university from there.
Wow.
So my parents moved me to a different school district. Like at the beginning of middle school. So we had like a 40-minute drive to and from school every day. So just comedy albums.
That's
comedy
so cool. albums.
So I'd always been obsessed with it and loved stand up, but I just didn't think I could do it because of just that, but people will see you.
Yeah.
Like I was gonna do a talent show in middle school, and we had to like audition for the talent show, and there was like 18 people in the audition room, and that was too much. Like I chickened out. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But after I got diagnosed and started going to therapy, I basically had a therapist slowly just be like, "Why don't you?
Yeah.
Just go to an open mic."
And how old were you when you got diagnosed?
30.
Oh, so later
yes,
in life.
Yes, later in life. I have autism and ADHD, and I've just like learned this term, and it's like it's a term that like when you say it, it makes you feel dirty because it's like, what? I'm so much better than you because it's called twice exceptional.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I'm really exceptional at like one thing and that's it. Everything else I suck at. I just high IQ, ADHD, so like basically just put a turbocharger on like the autism social processing. So it's like I'm still processing too much and awkwardly, but I can respond faster than what is autistic people are typically known for.
Yeah.
So I'm too rapid fire for love on the spectrum, but too weird for mainstream media.
Yeah. Okay. So after your diagnosis at 30, what changed for you as far as like how you like operate or lived your life or been like, oh, that's why I blah blah blah, and like did that like free you in a way?
So like the biggest part of it for me was like being like, oh, I'm not like broken, there's a name for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because
like before that, just like the anxiety, and a lot of the things that like you don't have a name for, so you just figure out like a workaround.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, like I can go out and be around people if I like have a couple of drinks, and then it's like, and then I have like this much time to be social before I gotta, and they're like, oh yeah, that's like managing your social battery, and that's like using social lubricants to, and it's like, oh yeah, so not everybody has to do that to just spend time in a room with eight people in
you know.
But I think the bigger thing is like it's almost like it gives you permission to like be yourself, because like a big part of autism, especially in like late diagnosed people, is masking. So it's that like when you leave the house, when you're like that moment when you're like, when you get to somewhere and you're sitting in your car and you make eye contact with yourself in the mirror and you're like, get it together, we gotta go in here and be a person right now, like, and then you know you put on the face and you know like that's all masking, and it's like realizing like how straining that is and how much burnout that causes. And that's basically what had happened, was like when I started like trying to figure out what was going on with me, I just reached the point of burnout where I couldn't function at all.
Ugh, yeah.
Like not just like, oh, I can go out for a little bit and then, you know, I need a little bit of down. It's just like I couldn't function at all. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't leave my house for like 5 months.
Whoa.
Like for anything, like groceries delivered, food delivered, did not leave the house for anything.
Wow.
And when you start learning about all of that stuff and how it can affect you long term, you start going like, oh, I actually don't have to do that. And so when people are like, oh, why don't you this, that, or the other, and they try to like, you know, like the peer pressure or guilt you into things. It's like, but I actually understand the reason why I don't want to do it now. Mm-hmm. And so you can't make me do it. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you can't make me feel bad because mm-hmm. I actually know the mm-hmm. reason now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to put myself in that situation and cause myself harm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a lot of that. And like that, like I said, that permission to be yourself. It's like, I don't have to put the mask on. Like, I don't have to go be this. I don't have to go be, I can just be me. And then stand-up gave me, like almost like, the best way I can explain it some is, like, it's almost like manic energy sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or, like, whenever, like, if you have kids, do your kids ever, like, drag you into the living room and be like, we're going to perform this for you? That energy that mm-hmm. a child has mm-hmm. when they're like, this is my big, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. when you have that feeling of, like, I got to get this out, like, yeah. stand-up gives me, like, at permission. Like, I yeah. have a specific time and space to just let all of my weird out, and yeah. I'm not getting dirty looks for yeah. it. I'm getting applause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's, in a weird way, it's like stand-up became like a therapy tool because it was like rewarding me for the behavior that I had convinced cool. myself I had to hide.
Man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's liberating.
Very.
That is awesome. Does it still like the public speak, like the fear, does that still have
oh yeah
like a hold on you? Like, how do you have like a ritual? Do you have a something? Because you know you're going to be able to release when you're out there, this all the energy, like you just said, but also I'm sure that fear is trying to like lock you up. Like, how do you do that?
It's a balancing act, or I like to use the analogy of like skydiving. Like, it's like if skydiving is the one thing that makes you feel alive, but you have a fear of heights. It's like the hardest part is getting on the plane. Once you're on the plane, you're like, well, this is happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's only one way down from yeah. here. And so that's kind of like, I get a little anxious during the day, but that's like if I'm on the road, like I'm hanging out in the hotel, I might go get coffee or food, or I might try and find like a thrift shop or an antique spot or a cool mm-hmm. little spot. But like, I'm trying to I might find like a little place out of the way, but for the most part, I'm keeping to myself and I'm just like reserving energy mm-hmm. because I know I'm fighting mm-hmm. dragons at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like once we get to the venue, like usually that's when it really starts hitting me. It's like, okay, you're here, you're at the place, people are already showing up at the place
mm-hmm.
and they're all going to stare at you. And you're like, ah, oh. So then it starts like creeping up and like,
frick,
you know? But it's kind of like once I'm at the venue, it's like that, say it's like, I'm in the plane. Like, mm-hmm. well, I'm here. Mm-hmm. The club knows I'm here. I can't just leave.
Mm-hmm.
I can't mm-hmm. just be like, I'm actually not feeling it tonight, guys. I gotta.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the plane already. So I think that, and I think also like different like mental health issues, but I think it's been cool. Like, everybody talks about like the trend in like disabled comedians and stuff like that. And there are a lot of really funny disabled people like Josh Blue and things like that. But having just the example of Maria Bamford, just having her exist,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? It's like, well, what happens if I need to cancel a show for mental health purposes? I have like an actual example of somebody who's like, oh, this is how that works. And mm-hmm. this is what you do. And mm-hmm. This is somebody who's been through it. And I love Maria Bamford. She's my Brian Regan.
Mm.
I haven't gotten to meet her yet, but I'm just so grateful that she exists and yeah. I've gotten to like see it.
That's incredible.
I think like the, like I handle it with that. It's like, I'm not the only person that's done this. Yeah. Like I have like examples of people, you know, and then, and like I said, like once I'm locked in the plane, like I'm, yeah. I'm in, it's going to happen.
I don't think people understand how brave you are because even just like for somebody who I am not autistic and I don't have that social anxiety to where the fear is going to like take me out, but I do get anxiety. I've talked a lot about my anxiety and my mental health and stuff, and the ways that I approach my anxieties with gratitude, which is where this podcast came from, is we practice gratitude, and that was one of my mental health tools. But like when I first started my career and I would be on the road, I had my nervous tics is I would get extremely tired and cold. And so on my rider, I had a blanket and a pillow always because before the show started, I was under this blanket and on a pillow like I need to lay down. I wasn't tired. I wasn't cold. It was my nervous anxiety.
Okay.
And that's how it was manifesting.
So that cold feeling, dude, like cold to the point where you'd like be sitting in the green room like
yeah.
kind of shivering. So that's where my like my stim, like that social anxiety stim kind of started is because I played like you were like a cheerleader before. I played sports like my whole childhood. I played high school sports. It's different than public speaking. Like, because it's a physical performance and it's like, I know my steps. I know the routine. I don't have to, there is no back and forth. I don't have to, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just showcasing a physical thing versus letting people inside your mind. And that to me is way more anxiety inducing. Because that's where, like with the masking and everything, it's like, no, but this is what I've been hiding. This is what I'm supposed to be ashamed to show you. But that cold feeling of just like sit and you're just sitting shivering and you're like, is anybody else cold? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like we're amped up. And I'm like, I'm freezing.
Yeah.
That's where that, like, I finger tap and I'm a leg bouncer. I'm a foot tapper. But when you're standing, it's harder to just tap your foot. So I end up like kind of bouncing side to side like a penguin and I'm finger tapping. So like it gets so intense that like my hands are literally flapping around. But it's that once that cold feeling starts setting in and then it's, but then there's like that fire in your belly of like, but I'm gonna demolish.
So it's
like, it's like I've got that in that the fire and just like the love and the passion of what I do that fights that off enough that it's like, well, we're not gonna die of hypothermia up here, you know?
So interesting the way our bodies manifest things. I do finger pressures and it's usually something that I do consciously. Every now and then I catch myself subconsciously doing it, but it's usually I'm doing this. If I ever am going to at the dentist, I used to be so fine at the dentist, like whatever. No big deal. Now all of a sudden when I go to the dentist, I'm here go my fingers. I'm like, oh, here I go. Probably because this last year I went to the dentist 17 times for a crown that is still bothering me today. But
a bad experience because now it's like, well, what used to be like a positive or like a no big deal, but then I had a negative experience and now that has tainted the entire.
Yeah. And now there go my fingers.
I remember being a little kid. I still do it as an adult. It's still one of those things that will like help calm me down. But as a kid, did you ever like grab like a metal surface or anything that and just squeeze real hard until you could feel your pulse in your hand?
No.
That was a really good one for me.
That makes sense now. Remember Emily told us about that thing? It's they sell it on Amazon. I bought one, but I never understood how to use it. It's like you hold it in your hand and it's like a pulse that you feel in your hand.
It's a very similar thing for like people that are into like gemstones and like energy crystal type of thing.
Yeah.
When you hold the stones and you can feel that pulse in your hand with that, the pressure from like the cool stone, whether it's acupressure or whatever it is, there is something to that.
I feel like it's got to be some other way of grounding. Like it's like it's you're focusing on that little rhythm. Yeah. But I do remember her talking about it because it's like those are people have. I love a Neato, a little stress squishy. People like to squish things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that kind of same category.
The little stress balls and the they're for people, but they look like dog chew toys. Like they make little like silicone like safe chew, like some of them are like Lego bricks or like Oreos or I bite my nails like I'm a big I'm an oral stem person, which is the other reason why like my hand stems manifest so hard when I'm doing stand-up is like if I'm anxious, if I even like going to a movie theater sometimes, if there's like a lot of people in like a movie theater, I don't have to talk to any of them, but it's like, well, I also can't be weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why I don't want to, what if I make a weird noise? What if like there's like a little jump scare in this comedy and I go, ah! You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like a nail biter, but you can't bite your nails while you're talking. So it's, I got to do something else with my hands and, just the way that our, like our bodies manifest different, like levels of anxiety and the little, all of the little tricks and workarounds that we all come up with as individuals. Mm-hmm. That's, it's fascinating.
So do you not do meet and greets?
I do. I sometimes I don't. Like if I'm like, when we first had Woody, when I first went back out on the road, I didn't want to like bring cooties home and give to the baby. Uh-huh. So I didn't do meet and greets until we were like, sure. Like his immune system was pretty much bulletproof.
Yeah.
And I used to get, like before that, I would do meet and greets, but I'd be sick every week when I'd come home. Mm. But I took a bunch of time off and like got like healthier during that and like took care of myself a little bit. And
do your nerves do the same thing for meet and greets that they do for the stage? Or are you more
It starts coming down like at meet and greets. I try to do them like almost right after. Like I'll run back to the green room, take like 2 minutes, and then I'll go out front to do meet and greets.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like I'm riding the wave and the high of like, like okay, these people are still strangers, but they just sat through an hour of you. Like they obviously like
you. So they feel safe.
They feel safer. Yes. Yeah, okay. Than just like talking to people on the, like to me the most awkward part is if you ever get to the venue a little bit later to where like the like there's already a line of people and like they're letting people in the doors and it's like, well, now I gotta like walk of shame past everybody. And it's like, you guys haven't even seen the meat and potatoes yet. So like this is not, we can't interact now.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't formally introduced myself. Yeah. I feel like Khaleesi, like, I got to give you all of my titles before we can have a conversation. Yeah.
You're the bride.
Yeah. Exactly. It's unlucky if you see me before.
Yeah.
But it, so to me, like, that's worse than, like, a meet and greet afterwards. And, I don't charge for meet and greets, and the reason why I keep doing them, even though they are like they're still draining, they're still like stressful, but I still keep doing them because a lot of like I've just met so many people at this point who's like, I'm autistic, my kid's autistic, like my niece, nephew, like so many of the like those interactions where like there's like we're talking about like gratitudes kind of, it's like that it gives me like a reminder of like that what you're doing is more important than just making people laugh. Like I've had people be like listening to you explain how this, like how your brain felt made me talk to somebody and now I'm diagnosed.
Wow.
Or like I literally had a like an older gentleman who did not look like he would be like in touch with his emotions. We'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
Just hugged me and started crying because he's like I started following you and like listening to your bits helped me understand and like grew my relationship with my grandson who's autistic.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Like, wow. Just me talking about what's going on in my brain is like fixing generational curses for other people. So so then that adds to like the, well, I can't cancel a show because what if there's somebody at this show that needs to hear something.
Wow.
And so like that, it's, I can't ever stop now. it's like the Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, totally. That's wild. That's really special.
I'm very proud of it. Like I may not ever be like mainstream or I may not ever be in anybody's like top five or anything, but what I do is meaningful and that's enough for me.
Yeah, man. Come on. That is so cool. Is, Is your dad still with us?
Yes. Yeah, my parents are old.
Yeah.
They're not old, but they are. Both of my parents are still alive, still married.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm 38, so they 40 years. They've been married 40 years.
That's incredible.
Their marriage anniversary is 1 week after my birthday. And they were married for 2 years when I was born. So it's every year it's like my birthday is the 12th and then their anniversary is the 17th.
Uh-huh.
So
that's so cool that your dad being a fan of comedy and listening to those comedy tapes with you now gets to see his son grown up doing stand-up comedy. What's that like for your dad? Like, have you ever had a conversation with him about that?
Yeah, so when I told my parents that I wanted to do comedy and, like, that I was gonna, like, really, like, go for it,
mm-hmm.
They were both very supportive. But my parents are, like, sports people. Like, when I was growing up, both my parents coached Little League. Like, my mom was, like, the Little League treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my dad would, like, drag and do, like, the chalk lines on all of the baseball fields at the youth league. And so my dad's just coached all the sports, loves all of the sports. Like, growing up, they was, you know, every single game that he could possibly be at, he was at, like, in the stands and everything. And then when I started comedy, I was like, where's that energy? Do you know what I mean? It was like supportive, but it was even when I had like shows that were like close to them, it was hard to get them to come out.
Interesting.
But I left Florida. I bought like during COVID, I bought a van and like converted it into like a little like camper van.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as things started opening up, I just started doing whatever I could.
Wow.
And, like some internet things happen and like, I won a festival and got like showcased at this other thing and like
so cool.
Things started working out. And when I came back to Gainesville, I did like they had a music venue that would do comedy shows
mm-hmm.
cause it's just like a college town. They didn't have like a comedy club. But I did it like a headline show there and finally got my parents to come like see me do comedy. And then my parents were trying to talk to me after the show as people were coming to do the meet and greets, and then people were like, oh, these are your parents. So then people from my meet and greets would like take their picture with me and then go talk to my mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
And getting to like talk to the people that were like that were fans of me, I think got my dad just saw it differently after that.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
He's like, you have fans the way sports teams have fans.
Yeah.
Dude, like people love you like they love Derek Jeter, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was when he was like, oh, this is like my son does like the thing that
mm-hmm.
Because before that, it's I think because of the sports thing, it's like amateur. Do you know what I mean? It's
yes.
like, oh, yeah, my son plays baseball,
uh-huh.
but not like major league baseball.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what I mean? He plays for the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
You know? But then he finally came to a game and he's like, no, this is just as cool as real baseball.
Yeah.
So I think once he realized it was real, I think it became different.
Totally.
You know? I don't think he and I have ever had the conversation where it's like, you know, I do this, like I love this because you taught me to love this. I don't think we've ever had that conversation. But that is 100%.
Well, if you could look into the camera now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Dad, you live in the middle of nowhere and you don't have internet, so you're never gonna see this. But you're the reason.
Aww. That's pretty cool, man.
No, it yeah. My parents are super supportive. My sister has always been like ever since I first said I wanted to do this, my sister was like you're gonna be
love
great
that.
At this.
I love that.
When I was a kid growing up, when I would just like say and do awkward kid things and like at home with like my comfortable people, you know, just fully unmasked and just letting loose after whatever. Like my family would literally be like, hey, we're all going to go out on the back porch and we're going to basically ask AJ questions until he fucking goes on a, or until he goes on a rant. Do you know what I mean? So like my whole life, like my family has literally been like, you just need like a reality show or a sitcom. Uh-huh. So we just capture all of the wild things you say all of the time. So when I started doing stand up, my sister was like, we always told you needed a show. Go put your own on.
Love that. Let's get into some gratitudes in your life. I mean, because I feel like we've already like heard a little bit. I mean, obviously your dad teaching you about stand-up comedy. Like, there's so many things in your life to be grateful for. But I want to hear, like, when you think of, I'm grateful for this. Man, like, if so-and-so wouldn't have ever done this, you know, if I would have never met this person, or I found $20 yesterday, like, what do you think of when I say, what are you grateful for?
I think my biggest thing is like, I'm grateful for like just mental health care. Mm-hmm. Because like without somebody trying to like explain to me what was going on with my brain and why I was struggling the way I was feeling, and even just giving me like the confidence to be like, no, you could do this. It's just, you're going to have to like practice at it, and mm-hmm. It's not going to look the same way as when other people do it.
Yeah.
But if you can wrap your head around that, like you can do this. Like I think without that nudge, without that understanding of what was, I wouldn't, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't know that I would still be here.
Right.
You know? But so I think that's my biggest one is just like just mental health care.
And when you said you were diagnosed at 30.
Yes.
Was there someone in your life that was like, hey, what if you went and got, you know, checked out for this?
Not really. Because like I come from like a very rural, very like, mm-hmm. Like not backwards, but pretty close to backwards parts mm-hmm. of like Florida,
okay.
where there's not a lot of like healthcare options and like mental health isn't a real thing to a lot of those people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like my mom is like bipolar, is on medication for a bipolar disorder. She still calls it her thyroid problem. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's not, like you have that also, but but so I didn't really have that until like a nurse at a VA hospital was like, what, did you ever get diagnosed as autistic? And I was like, what did you just call me? Do you know what I mean? But no, I didn't really have that.
What made you go and get diagnosed?
So I had been going for like other healthcare stuff. Like I had been being treated like mental health treatments for like anxiety and like depression and things like that. Mm. But no, like the VA is like, we'll deal with the symptoms, not really the root
mm-hmm.
cause. And it wasn't until like that nurse where I was like, oh, so you mean there could be something else that could actually be making these things worse, and we're just basically slapping Band-Aids on the boo-boo instead of learning how to not get boo-boos.
Yeah.
You know? And so that...
Well, amen for that nurse.
Amen for that nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, like, literally, we had, like, all of these conversations while I was waiting to see a doctor. And then when I got done with the doctor, she was, like, waiting on me with, like, a stack of papers. And she was, like, I printed out, like, these, like, questionnaires and, like, these different assessments for you to, like, take. And then on the back of this one is a list of ones you can take on the internet.
Wow,
and basically
good.
Just see what these say. And basically every one of those was, like, you should see an autism specialist.
Yeah.
And then the University of Florida was who finally, they have a card, they have a Center for Autism and Related Disabilities. They set me up with an appointment for an assessment, and they were like, bring your mom, bring like whatever family members you can bring, because we're gonna interview them as well.
Wow.
And basically do like independent assessments, because they're gonna be like, they're talk to me about like what I'm like now, and they do like assess the way I respond to things. But then they took my mom in another room and they're like, what was he like as a kid? What did he do? What this, that, and the other? And then my mom, because my mom was like, there's no way you're autistic, there's no way it's autism. And then like the she was like, afterwards, she was like, the doctor started asking me questions, and midway through, I felt like a bad mom, because I was like, wait, is this... Are you telling me he's autistic? and the doctor was like, no, 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 you're telling us he's autistic. It was just one of those. She was like, oh, I did... And that's what happens a lot, like, part of why when I started... telling jokes and talking about it and traveling, it's like a lot of people are like, oh, we didn't actually know that's what it is. And it's like, that's because it's a spectrum. Yeah. You might know like one autistic person, and in your head you're like, that's what it is, but it's like, it's that and it's that and it's that and it's that.
That is so interesting. Yeah, I feel like there, so okay, two things I want to say about this. Part of me, like hearing that and being reminded that it's a spectrum, I'm like, wow, there's probably more people on the spectrum than we know about.
All of our peers.
Yeah.
Almost I feel all like of our peers.
There's a little bit of that. Sometimes I say that to my husband. I'll be like, I think you might be a little bit autistic. Because like sometimes he don't have no filter, and he'll just like say just very direct and blunt. And I'm like, You can't say that. And he's like, what? You can't say what? And then he does this a lot. He'd be doing that with his legs. And I'm always like
and when you, you stop his leg, do you like a minute later, have you realized he's like started moving something else
100%.
To like compensate for the leg stopping?
100%. It's so, and I'm like, I think, and he's super, super duper smart, graduated summa cum laude, like just like would never pay attention in class and then just pass everything like flying colors. And then I said this recently, I said, it annoys me so much that I'll be talking to my husband. He's like multitasking, like on the phone, like doing something, and I'll be trying to communicate something. And I'm like, what did I just say? And he can stop and then repeat everything I just said. But when he says it, it's like it's the first time he's hearing it, really, because he was subconsciously listening.
Uh-huh.
And the first time he's hearing it is when he says it.
So that is 1,000,000% autism. That is 1,000,000% autism. That is, I used to get in trouble for that as a kid, because I was like, I'd be like reading a book or, you know, doing whatever. And my parents would be like, look at me while when I'm talking to you. And I'd be like, I don't have to look at you while I'm talking. Actually, if I look at you while I'm talking to you, I will hear you less good. I will, because now I'm focusing on looking at you instead of focusing on, but there's an auditory processing thing with autism where it's like, I can be locked into what I am doing, hear your words, put them in the queue to be processed.
Yeah,
so I heard what you said, but I haven't registered what you said yet. I haven't processed
the words. Oh my God, you have to be my husband after this, please.
Yes.
This is wild.
Oh, I got to give him the sniff test.
Oh my God, yeah!
It's like a service dog.
That is hilarious. Oh my God. I literally just like yesterday, he was doing, and I was like, I don't like it when you multitask me. He's like, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm like, I know, but just look at me. Like, just eye contact with me. Oh, my God. We just diagnosed my husband. This is great. Okay, let's get back into your gratitudes of life.
Ooh, okay. So, mental health care.
Yeah.
My son. I am so... I went through like different periods of life where like I wanted kids, didn't want kids, wanted kids, didn't want kids. We found out we were pregnant when I was very firmly in one of my I don't want kids eras.
Okay.
And then within 48 hours, I was like, no, 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 I want this.
Yeah.
I was just like, I had wanted kids before, and then like we started comedy and like, you know, like the travel and the schedule, mm-hmm, and the just mm-hmm. like the, I didn't want to be an absentee dad, you know? So I was like, if I have kids now, it wouldn't be fair to them. And then we got pregnant, and I was like, but what if, and like, that's still the part I struggle with the most is like when I'm on the road away from home, away from him, it is I have this like fear every time I leave the house that like, he's going to forget who I am before I come back, you know? But he is my best friend in the world. He is so excited to see me every time. Like, love he's it. Never forgotten who I am. Not a single time.
Mm-hmm.
He I'm his play buddy. Do you know what I mean? Like, he loves his mom. He wants mom when he's not feeling good. He wants, you know, but when he's like, he's wants to vibe or he wants to hang, wants dad. He like, he's like, we're gonna, he just started walking.
Okay.
Like, he's still not like fully like taken off, like gone feral yet, but he's starting to like 5, 6, 7 steps at a time walk. Before he started walking, I would like go grab him and like hold his little hands up with my fingers, and he'd like, I'd walk and he'd walk with me, he loves to climb the stairs at the house. So he will literally, if as soon as like I'm awake, like in the mornings, and I come down to hang out with him, he like sees me and then he'll run over to the stairs because he wants me to chase him up the stairs, because he'll crawl up the stairs and I'll just go up behind him. And then he goes into my room and like our bedroom, and he'll like go over to like, we have like a balcony door in our room. So he'll go over to the balcony door and he likes to play hide and seek with the curtain on the door.
Yeah.
And then when he's done playing hide and seek with me, he'll crawl over to the bed because he wants me to pick him up and just like power bomb him onto the bed.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and now it is wrestling time.
Yeah.
But I'm just so grateful that I get to be a dad and like experience fatherhood. Like I, like, you know, like, love on the spectrum really makes it think, you know, that this is just not a possibility. But he is my best friend. Taryn, yesterday or 2 days ago, she was like, you're such a great dad, and I just watch you become a better dad every day. And I was just.
Yeah, man.
That's all I care about now.
Yeah.
Is just that guy. So I'm so grateful that, like, even later in life, like, I still get to have this, like, experience, and I still get to be a dad, and just, like, I have someone to, like, give all of this, like, love and energy to.
Yes.
So that's my gratitude, too. And then, obviously, my third gratitude is Taryn. Like, that woman is incredible. Just the mother of my child, and the social butterfly saint that took me in.
Yeah.
It's the reason I'm here today.
Yeah. What? Who's funnier at home? You or Taryn?
Taryn is funnier at home, but only because she doesn't get my jokes. I'll make like a weird nerdy reference to something and she's like, what is that? And I'll be like, if you got it, you'd get it.
Dang.
You know?
If you were one of my fans, you would have got it.
Totally. We were literally, I filmed like an hour a couple of months ago, and it's like the hour I've been doing since I came back. I went back on the road after the baby. And when I went to film it, she was like, you're filming this hour, and I've never seen this hour. I don't know any of the jokes in this special. And I was like, yeah, I know, because you don't really like me like that, you know? you're like, you love me, but you're just like, not a fan, you know? But yeah, like, she is very, very funny. And she is like, she's like, like I said, social butterfly. Like, anybody can come to the house and she is made a friend.
Mm-hmm,
do you know what I mean? Like, she can go anywhere and make a friend.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's how I fell in love with her. She was hired to do my makeup by a production. So I didn't know her before. And they had two different makeup artists come. It was 2 days. And the other girl was the one that was actually hired, and she couldn't do the next day, so she hired Taryn to come. And when I met Taryn, immediately I was like, did we just fall in love? Like, what? You are hilarious. She was cracking me up, just such a vibe. Loved her. And I was like, we're going to be friends. And I remember when she started dating you and she was telling me that, like, well, there's this comic. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure I was like, are you sure a comic? Yeah. Are you sure that's what you want to do?
Yeah, I know. You and Chelsea Handler both.
Well, I'm glad she didn't listen to us.
Me too. I totally get it. Like, if we had a daughter, I would never let my daughter date comedians. Yeah. Or never. Again, we're like, there's definitely a mental health aspect. Like safe, sane, comfortable people don't give up all of the security of a regular life to come and do what we do.
Yeah.
You just don't. Like, you have to be a little crazy to give that up.
100%.
Like, to be any sort of artist, I think. To be 100%. Like, yeah, I don't, who needs a 401k and a steady paycheck and a roof over their head? Yeah. Who needs it? You know what I need? A microphone. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I literally traded rent in an apartment for a van and a PA system because I was like, if I run out of shows that I can book, I'll just stop somewhere and start a show. My worst case scenario now is DJ.
Yeah.
I just pictured you in a Kroger parking lot just trying to tell jokes to people.
Yeah. What you got there, broccoli?
You switch that to a Winn-Dixie and you've basically nailed it. I did a show, like a food truck rally show in an empty parking lot across a highway from a Winn-Dixie. The stage was just a trailer. Like just a pull behind trailer. They just pulled up right in front of the interstate, like the highway. We were there and then just a bunch of food trucks and people.
Okay, but I think we're onto something. I think there needs to be some social media series where you're at the grocery store just roasting people as they go by.
Yeah, just clip a microphone to a banana.
What do you got in your bag? And just go off on
you can just call it groceries roasting vegetables.
Oh,
you
yeah.
guys. We just created a new series. Trademark.
Anybody who comes in that grocery store in a wheelchair is about to be in trouble. No, but the like grocery store and roasting vegetables, that does bring me to my mattitude.
Okay, yes.
It's food. Our food, grocery stores, and you can't trust our food anymore.
Oh my God, let's talk about all of the food.
All of the food is bad.
Everything.
Okay? There's diarrhea in the lettuce. Yep. There's those little tractor wheels, like the little kids' streets tractor wheels, had metal in them. They just got recalled because there were metal shavings.
What brand?
In the children. The Jennifer Garner brand. The Jennifer Garner brand.
We have them in the pantry right now.
Yes, we do also. But dude, there's diarrhea in the lettuce. There's shrapnel in the baby food. There's glass in the popsicles.
What? I did see that. I did see that.
Yes, like the fruit bar whatever popsicles there's glass in. Like, what are we supposed to eat? Sawdust?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, nothing is safe anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lettuce thing, I think, was the one that I was like, well, this is just, like, right at the point, like, right as, like, society is realizing that all of the processed foods are bad for us, and we go, hey, we gotta all start eating healthier, and then they're like, oh, you think that's the answer? Guess what? Lettuce will kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, enjoy your salad.
Uh-huh. Yeah, enjoy not having heart disease.
Yeah,
because
you know what doesn't have diarrhea in it? Oreos.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I'm right there with you, man.
Just nothing is safe to eat anymore. Like we basically reached the point where we're like, as Americans, we're gonna have to go full North Korea and become fully self-reliant. Like we're just gonna have you're gonna either have to grow all of your own food or starve.
Oh yeah, yeah. We started our garden, our apocalyptic garden, where we have jalapenos and cherry tomatoes.
Ooh.
So we're gonna have a steady diet of salsa when the world starts to collapse.
You're like, have no fear.
We've got a sweet potato in a mason jar that's got like five little sprouts on it.
Let's go, Roots, come on.
And we've got a carrot in a little dish that's got a little greenery going. We did just get one of those, like the lettuce grow, like the hydroponic towers for growing all of your own food and stuff. Very cool, very fun. Literally just watching greens grow, just... And they're growing.
Where is it, indoor or it's outdoor?
It's indoor. So we have a sunroom on the house. So it's the sunroom. And it's like it's got like the automatic water thing in it. And you just put your plant food, mix it in with the water, and then it just grows. And all of the roots, it's like little plastic cups with and you just put the cups in the side and then the roots grow out and like down the inside of the middle. And it just constantly like every 15 minutes every hour, it just drips rain on, like water down on it through like the little pumps.
Have you been able to harvest from it yet, or is it brand new?
Not yet. It's I think we've had it for about almost a month, and I think it's harvestable at like 8 weeks.
Some and of this them are... is year round. You can do it any time of year because
if
it's
you
indoor?
Have if you have like an indoor, yeah. So they have it's called Lettuce Grow is like the brand, but like lettuce,
yeah.
And it's called the Farm Stand.
Okay.
And it's just like a tower. And you can add to it. You can make it bigger, smaller. I love it. You can get like these halo lights so you can put like actual like the UV lights on it. It just grows we've got a big variety of all kinds of stuff now. We've got like three different kinds of lettuces in it. We've got some mint, some eucalyptus.
Cool. We got mint too. My father-in-law, we went to build the garden together for my daughter, and he grabbed like spearmint and mint, and I'm like, but what are you gonna do with that? What do you do with the mint? What, we don't do anything with it. It's so far it's just been there.
Mojitos.
Yeah. Mojitos, they'll go great with your salsa in the apocalypse. Just salsa mojitos.
That's what you put your sign out, like everyone put signs out of what they offer to the community, and you're like, jalapenos.
Post-apocalyptic mixer.
Yeah, yeah, we're going down. Just let's
a little garden
drink.
Party.
I love that.
We're gonna start doing the potato bags.
Tell me about this.
You can use any sort of bag, like, you know, like those reusable like grocery bags and like tote bags you get.
Yeah.
You can literally just like line those
like a canvas bag.
Yeah. You can just fill it with dirt.
Okay.
And put potatoes in it. And grow potatoes.
No freaking way. Inside. In the house.
In the house. I think those need sun. Like, we have a sunroom, but like if you have like a patio door that gets good sun or whatever, you can grow them inside. Oh. But you just like with the sweet potato, like we've got like it's growing like these little stalk things. And then each one of those stalks can like grow a potato.
Wow.
So you just plant those in like a bag, like a big bag, fill it with all your dirt, soil, whatever. But then they'll just grow potatoes, and then you just cut the bags open and dump them out, and you've got like 8 potatoes.
No way.
So we're doing that with we're going to do that with like sweet potatoes and stuff.
I love it.
And we want to get like an actual like greenhouse building.
Yeah.
Because we want to grow like all of the stuff for... like the baby for food, like berries and whatever we can. Cause that dude eats so clean. Like, Taryn's literally like homemade baby food, home cooked meals. Like last night he had salmon and white sweet potato. Because of none of the food can be trusted now. We're like, especially with the baby. Like when we like, getting ready for the baby and having like just all of the reading and studying. It's like, everything is designed to kill this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do we not let that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's keeping them alive is way harder than they made us think it was.
We're the same way with Rosie. She's organic farmer's market, everything.
That's crunchy kids.
We go to farmer's market first, and then if we don't have what we need at farmer's market, then we go to the store. But yeah, same thing. And she has no idea that she eats organic. She has no clue how good she has it.
Oh, that East Nashville farmer's market?
Banging?
banging. They're the over where we're at, there the Madison one, Taryn said, is really good too, but I haven't been to that one with her yet.
Okay.
But we went to that East Nashville one, like that little pop-up one.
Did they have good produce?
The East Nashville one, not as much produce. Like they definitely have some.
Yeah.
But the East Nashville, they have like a butcher shop guy that comes out. So you get like, like no antibiotics, whatever, like steaks and all beef hot dogs.
We're gonna have to start doing the farmers market butcher meats, especially now with all the mystery meats and all of that, and the genetically made meats.
This is where we go to roast vegetables, is the farmers market.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is a people watching roast show waiting to happen.
Oh, my God. We have to do it.
We have to do it.
Oh, my God. Listen. No, this is a really good idea.
Oh, my God. We go to a farmers market.
Okay.
Especially if they have, when they set up, the little, aisles, like the rows of the farmer's market, but then we set a section up off to the side, we rope it off, and we get a bunch of people to show up like it's the Kentucky Derby. And then we place bets on how many on people doing laps at the farmer's market.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I got $2 on the lady with the baby strapped to her chest. And it's like, oh, she did the full circuit the fastest.
Oh, yeah.
The farmer's market derby.
Yeah. You take bets on what they're buying too. I'm like, that lady, she's going to get into the tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. We'll get our whole show sponsored by Kalshi. Placing bets at the farmer's market.
I'll do a lap at the farmer's market to see what we got going on. If it's a small one.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lap. What do we got going on? Then I come back for purchasing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you're supposed to do the farmer's market. But that's what's so funny is like, then it's like, okay, so the race is two laps.
Uh-huh.
That's a standard race.
Yeah.
If somebody does it all in one, that person's a psycho.
Yeah. Who?
You know what I mean?
You bought these
either
strawberries.
Either you're a psycho or you're one of mine. This might be one of my autistic people. They might have they might have mapped out the farmer's market at the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They got like the whiteboard like Charlie Day.
Yeah. You know, yes. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, I know where the pickle stand is. I know where the froyo is. Yeah. I know where the meats are. Bang, bang, bang. We're out like a Navy SEAL.
Yeah. Stealth.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh, man. Before we wrap it up, do you have any other gratitudes you want to throw out there into the universe?
I'm drawing a blank here.
No presh. We don't have to because we're going to jump into some rapid fires.
Ooh, okay. Let's jump into rapid
fires. Yeah. So Danielle's going to give you some scenarios. And you just tell her if you would be grateful in this situation or if this would be a matitude for you.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Attitude or gratitude.
Are you happy for this or are we stressed out, basically? Alrighty. So you walk into a room or a group of people and everybody automatically assumes that you're in charge.
Ooh. Matitude. Matter, because if you assume, first of all, if I walk into a room and you assume I'm in charge, that means you're looking at me, and I don't like that. I don't like that to begin with. If I'm going to be in charge, that's the first rule is no eye contact. So look at your feet, and then I will tell you what to do. I don't want to be in charge of the room. Mm. I want to be in the back. I don't want people to know I'm in the room. Put me in the back. I will, believe me, if there's a group activity, if somebody else will explain the instructions, I will understand them faster than everybody else, and then I will just move along.
Yep.
Like, I will give myself my own museum tour. You guys just go ahead, I'll catch up. No, I won't.
That's funny. Guarantee you that's Danielle's gratitude. Is
being in charge.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do not possess the organizational skills to run this for anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if I walk in and I don't even know what's going on, I just automatically am like, well, I'll take charge.
So yeah.
Just let me know what we're doing. Yeah. Okay. So let's say you go to a wedding. And they have assigned seating, and you're seated at a table where you don't know anybody. It's all strangers.
Again, matitude. First of all, if I love you enough as a person to show up to your wedding, I better be sitting at your table.
Yeah.
Okay? Unless you guys are doing like the separate, like bride and groom sit at their own table. If there's a table with everybody sitting at, I'm either at that table or I'm just in the back of the room. I'm a plus one.
They're all, why is that one non-groomsman sitting with the groomsman?
Yeah, that's the master of ceremonies. Don't worry about it. He's going to give a speech later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First of all, flying solo to a wedding is a wild move. I'm not going anywhere without a chaperone, okay? I'm not attending any sort of social function like that without some sort of, like, social lubricant person. Taryn. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, if I'm sitting at a table with Taryn and everybody else is strangers, that's great. She's going to make a friend for both of us.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
But she's going to win that table.
Yeah, we run that table now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? She's in charge. I'm her little court jester. She'd be like, tell him the thing about the thing. Or,
yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, you want me to go? I'll go now. But yeah, by myself at a table full of strangers, I will make it so weird. I'll literally just sit there in silence, and then when they're like, so who are you again? And I'll be like, I bet you're wondering why I brought you all here today. Yeah.
I love that.
All right, let's give us another. And before we give us the next one, I need to get one of your hats, especially because AJ is also, I am also at AJ, so I am going to pretend that that's me. I'm going to be like, oh yeah, this is my hat,
AJ. I will give you this one. Actually, no, this is not one of the new ones. I have new ones that are like silk on the inside.
Ooh, yeah, give me one of them silky ones.
Yeah, and it's got like quotes of all of my different jokes.
Oh my God, I love that.
That's so cool.
I will absolutely give you one.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, give us another one.
Okay, so let's say you're having a movie night at home with Taryn. How do you feel about if she's talking throughout the movie?
Well, you just described my relationship. So, you know what? In any other situation, I would say matitude, but in my relationship, I will say gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the way that our relationship works when it comes to television shows or movies or things like that. If Taryn will ask me questions about it, even if she knows I haven't seen it either.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? But this is what cracks me up about her, is she will ask a question and genuinely mean it, and she hasn't processed how ridiculous the question is before I get to react to it. Do you know what I mean? We watched, like a couple of weeks ago, her sister was in town, and so me, her sister, her girlfriend, like we're all sitting, we all watched that Project Hail Mary movie with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So no spoilers, but if you haven't seen it, it's a science fiction movie about a guy traveling to deep space because the sun is getting the sun is dying.
Mm-hmm.
We are 10 minutes into this movie, like Ryan Gosling is like trying to figure out what is happening as much as the people watching the movie are trying to figure out what's happening. And Taryn goes, is this based on a true story?
Taryn. Taryn. Taryn, do you think our son was dying and no one told you?
Questions like that. She also, the thing that, this is related because it's outer space. The thing that cracked me up the most ever, and the day that I was like, I am in love with this woman, is we were talking one day, and I don't remember how it came up, but she was like, she said something about you must feel like you're like walking on the moon like Lance Armstrong. And I was like, different guy. Different Armstrong. You're thinking of Neil. Lance is the bicycle guy with the missing testicle. And then she was like, oh, well, like, yeah, right, Neil Armstrong. And I was like, right, but that would make you Buzz Aldrin. And she was like, who the F is Buzz Aldrin?
Oh.
And I was like, he's the other astronaut that was with Neil Armstrong. And Taryn goes, oh, he's the guy that took the pictures.
Oh. I love, like, Taryn.
No, he's an astronaut. And then she goes, oh, his name is Buzz. That must be the, why they named him Buzz Lightyear. And I was like, yes. 30 seconds ago, you didn't even know he existed. And now you know that, yes, they literally named the astronaut in Toy Story after him because he was a real astronaut. And I believe we had this conversation while watching Toy Story. But that is what it's like. Like, anything we watch, like, we watch this show together on Apple TV called Silo. Like, that's our current, like, couple show.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, yeah, but...
we get a free hour at night. The baby goes down early enough. You want to watch an episode of Silo?
Yeah.
But I literally will have to watch an episode before her and then come back and watch it with her because I know I'm going to have to catch her up on what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Like, there's a recap at the beginning of every episode, and then I also provide a verbal recap as the episode goes. She'll be like, why is she doing that? And I'll be like, well, remember in the last episode when she did this, and then this happened, and then, and she's like, oh, yeah, cool. And it's just, yeah, it's... that's how we balance it. I am her, like, human IMDb, because that's one of my autism special interests, is, like, I know the names of the actors and things.
Wow, yeah.
And, like, we'll be watching, and she'll be like, who is that guy? What do I know him from? And then I just gotta start. I'll be like, well, he was in this. And she's like, I haven't seen that. I'll be like, right, he was in... well, I haven't seen that either, but he was in this. And nope, you've definitely not seen this, but he was in this also. And then I'll say something random, and she's like, oh my God, I've seen that. I know that.
I love that.
So yeah, that I will say gratitude, because it can be irritating, especially if it's like a show that, like, I'm more into than she's into. And I'm like, let me enjoy it, and then I will explain it to you. But that's why, like, I'll just watch it beforehand, and then I can explain it to her. But it's like, it's a gratitude, because it's like
you're bonding.
We're spending time. Also, it's like, it's you're letting, like, this weird thing that I have in my brain, like, be useful. You know what I mean? So it makes me feel useful.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Know? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm like your little AI assistant right now.
She doesn't call Alexa.
That guy's name
AJ.
Is Harvey Keitel.
Yeah. He got his start at Groundlings, oddly enough.
And he was on
Michael Keaton. Yeah. He used to do stand-up comedy.
Yes, that's perfect. But I like to, I'm assuming too, I would love it if you were like, and he was on season 7, episode 14 of Law and Order. Like,
oh, yeah.
They do, like, their, like, little guest. That's always my
Everybody's
favorite.
Been on Law and Order except for me. It's my dream.
But it's crazy, though. Like,
Law and Order.
Yeah. SVU specifically.
Oh. See, at least that show's still on.
Yeah.
My dream is to be on a show that's not even on the air anymore.
Oh, which one?
Do you remember
it?
Community?
Yes.
I still. You want to be on this it. Day. It's like, hey,
you're like, bring it back.
Dan Harmon, bring it back.
Just for one episode.
Just
one
guest and one episode.
I love it.
Okay, you have one more?
Yeah, or I got more.
Yeah. Give me another one.
Okay. A stranger asks you to take a photo of their family. Like, let's say you're at the Grand Canyon or something, and someone's like, hey, can you take a photo of us?
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
That's a, like, in a one-on-one situation like that, I don't mind that as much. I actually mind it way more if a stranger comes up to me and was like, can I get a picture with you?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will much rather, like, oh, behind the camera? Yeah. You don't don't need proof that I was here.
Yeah.
That's way easy. That's like the, do you remember Austin Powers? Like, yeah, baby, yeah. More, no. Like, it's that. It's like, I can put on a hat and step into this role.
Yeah.
And, like, again, it's the usefulness thing. It's like, I'm not a social creature. Like, if a stranger at, like, the Grand Canyon was like, hey, what do you think about this weather? How do you think this guy? I don't want to small talk with you. I don't want to have a conversation. If you're just like, hey, do you mind taking a picture first? Yes, let me absolutely be useful to you. And then,
because
then if I do something socially awkward over here, you might back me up. Do you know what I mean? You might be like, hey, leave him alone. That nice man took a picture for us.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's our photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say gratitude for that. If I can get a social interaction in by just fulfilling a simple request, I can do that all day. I'm a door holder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If I'm walking in somewhere, here, let me hold the door for you.
Yeah.
You also. I'll be here for the next half hour. You guys just head on in.
Yeah.
As long as you don't want to have a conversation with me.
Yeah.
You just need a task.
Yes.
You'll do a task.
Yes. Yeah, if you give me a task, I'm very good at following instructions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at guessing. Do you know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. If a stranger asks me a direct enough question, I'll do it. It doesn't matter what it is. Will you help me deliver this child? Tie my shoes? Whatever. Absolutely. Hey, thanks.
Love that. I would say yeah, too. I like when people request of me something out in public, like, can you take a picture? Or like we were saying before in a previous episode, if somebody asks you, you're at a coffee shop, and they're like, can you keep an eye on my stuff? I just got to run to the bathroom real quick. I am game. I'm like, yeah, I got your back, bro.
Yeah. Also, but like, it's like taking a picture for somebody. How could anybody be upset at that? Oh, do you want me to help you capture this like permanent memory, this beautiful moment that will exist forever for you and your family? You're welcome. Yeah. I gave that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Listen, I've had people tell me no before when I've asked, like, hey, can you take our picture? And they'll just kind of be like, oh. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll find someone else. It's fine. Some people get weird about it.
That's attitude.
That's
weird. You're too good to take a picture for somebody?
Yeah. What? People get that's weird about it.
I've had people be like, oh, my eyes. Here, let me get someone younger to come. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to mess up your picture.
Well, yeah, if you're too old to operate the equipment, sure. I fully...
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I also...
end up with, like, the top of an old lady's head in your camera phone.
I feel like sometimes, though, then I also will get picky, like... I bring up the Grand Canyon. I remember when my dad and I were there and he was like, let's get someone to take our picture. And he went to talk to someone. I said, no. I go, let me look. Let me assess. Uh-huh. I was like, her.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, she's the one.
Oh,
like,
I judge too. I definitely go, can you take a picture for us, please?
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. It's like, I need somebody that knows angles. And that, yes. Uh-huh. No. See, I'm the type of, if I take the picture for you, I'm going to take multiple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it a couple different angles.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you've got a variety to choose from. Mm-hmm. If I didn't nail any one of these, you know what? Leave me a Yelp review. Yeah. Yeah. But that's me as the person taking the pictures. Uh-huh. Now, if I do that and then somebody's like, oh my God, I needed to take more. It's like, well, I gave you plenty.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, if somebody took like one picture and was like, can you actually like take a couple? I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, that I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
like,
I'm an expert.
Also,
here.
Who is the person just going, boop, here you go, I'll punch you?
Some people do that. And you go,
right
oh,
now.
And you go, I got to find
this
somebody.
This will actually go back into the Mattitude because of meet and greets. You probably have people do this. Yeah. If you come to take a picture with me with a Snapchat camera up.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I will throw your phone. Okay? Because you want multiple pictures, but it's Snapchat. Now I got to save it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now I got to reset it. Now we got to do no. Mm-hmm. Open your camera app.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You don't know this, but I've told people. So I take her when she does meet and greet. I'm the one. I'll go, give me your phone. I'll take the photos. And sometimes people will hand me and I can tell it's open to Snapchat and there's a filter. And I go, oh, I'm so sorry. Do you have the camera open? I'm like, what? I'm going to give you multiple photos. I can't do it.
Right.
I'm like, and it's got weird filters. And I'm
you're
like,
trying
what's
to be
going
the,
on?
Like this girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, that makes me that girl too.
Also, it's like, why would you want to put a dog filter on my, like, if you're coming to the meet and greet, you want a picture with me, you're going to post and be like, oh, this is, I took a picture with this person.
Yeah.
Well, now people don't even recognize that I'm that person.
Yeah. It's you with eyeliner and contour.
Yeah.
And Taryn's like, wow, babe, your makeup looks great.
Yeah. I look like Maui from Moana now.
Yeah. Or I sometimes will get, I don't know, maybe they just like the different angle, but sometimes when I've taken photos with you people and then they get it and they turn to you and they go, can we take a selfie? I'm like, oh, was mine not, you didn't like that? You didn't like that angle?
So a lot of people like the selfie camera because it mirrors the image. So, you know, like the whole, the facial symmetry thing?
Yeah.
In the mirrored camera, some people's faces look better because of their facial asymmetry. So they take the regular picture with the backward facing camera, uh-huh. but they don't like the symmetry of their face. So they want a selfie because it mirrors the image. Oh. So their face looks different symmetrically.
Mm. So it's not me. It's them.
It's them. Yeah. It's them. Yeah. They have uneven faces.
And that's not my fault.
And they don't love themselves. That is... has nothing to do with you.
Okay, great. Love that for me.
Yeah, you're a kind and decent person who took a picture for them, and they should have more gratitudes.
Yeah. There we go. There we go.
AJ, I am so glad that your beloved Taryn hooked this up today, because this has been a fantastic conversation. I have thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you, getting to know you.
They like me. They really
learning
like
that
me.
My husband is also autistic, apparently. Oh, that's like one of mine. That
I smelled him when he came in the house. I got it.
No, seriously, this has been a great time. Thank you for being here sharing
thank
your
you for
story.
Having me. Also, sorry for those words you're gonna have to filter out.
Oh,
they
you're
slipped out.
Fine.
I used them as fillers. They just
you're fine. And honestly, congrats. Like,
thank you.
You're crushing it. Congrats, bro. That is, and in such a short period of time, well done.
Thank you. So I'm obsessed with the art form, and again, I've told jokes about this where like I had somebody at a meet and greet tell me that like my show to them felt like just watching someone's invasive thoughts win over and over again. And that's been my secret, like, since I started comedy, is like I'll like put together an hour of material and I get like bored with it because ADHD, like I get bored with that hour of material so fast. I'm like, okay, well now I want to do something different. And anytime I need new material, like instead of sitting down and trying to be like, what should I write about? Or what do I think is funny? I literally will just let some of the inside spill out in front of people and I let them decide what is funny.
Wow. Do you know? That's
and
good.
So it's like, yeah, it's like, I've just got so much stuff built up in here that it's kind of like an endless, like, well, I'm bored with this, so I need a new episode, you know? And I just, I love it so much, and I spent most of my life having a hard time figuring out how to communicate with people, and I think that my issue has been, I've been so afraid of, like, public speaking in large groups that I've tried to communicate with people one-on-one, and that's just not what I'm built for. Just let me just air it all out, and then you decide if you like it or not.
Yes.
And so I love it. It's, I can't do anything else anymore.
Yeah.
And just thank you for, thank you for letting me be part of the Cool Kids Club.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you guys for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Until now, the data your AI depends on has been trapped behind ever-increasing cloud fees. Wasabi created Hut Cloud Storage and is redefining cloud storage for the AI era, delivering simple, predictable cloud storage for AI, analytics, media, and more. Your data is free to move, fast to access, and ready when your AI needs it. Hidden fees add up fast as AI workloads grow. Wasabi's flat pricing eliminates all of it. One rate, no surprises. Learn more and try now for free at wasabi.com. Wasabi, the AI storage cloud. Proud partner of the iHeart Podcast Network.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.